You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. I'm really bummed. I don't get to say aloha anymore. I'm very, very sad. You miss me saying aloha.
Aloha, everybody. I'm not in Hawaii, but I'll say it if you don't.
Hi. Hi, everyone. This is Elizabeth Powell with Tech Trend Investments.
And this is Joseph Grassa with Tech Trend Investments.
So I'm still in beautiful places, so I can't complain. Like, when you're next to the coast, you can't complain, right?
Well, I don't think I would complain, but I'm not exactly beside the coast. I'm in the suburbs, and it's actually a nice day today as well. I think it's about 15 degrees Celsius, so I can't complain. That's warmer than it's been.
So what's that? Convert it to me for Fahrenheit.
Okay.
Like 65-ish?
It is 60.
Okay, I was close. Yeah, I think it's 75 today, maybe 74. It's not that hot, though. It's windy, though.
I would take that. I would take that.
Yeah. But, yeah, so here we are. Last week, we kind of went for fun stuff and talked about everything, pretty much.
Anything and everything.
Having
fun. I think, like we said last week, everyone should have some fun.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot's been happening. A lot's been going on in the world. Financial markets, crypto markets, tech. AI, like AI is going leaps and bounds right now. Crazy new technology. Lots of Web 2 people coming into Web 3. Lots of normal people in finance coming over into crypto too. So there's a lot of shifts going on right now in the market. It's interesting. It's fun.
Yeah, I think we had today was a pretty big event everywhere too with the Fed meeting. So there's been a lot even going on today. So
right.
A lot of things happening, a lot of information being spread, a lot of people joining Web3, a lot of people now exploring the different possibilities and capabilities of the technology that's been built on Web3.
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of businesses try to move over into blockchain, Web3, AI, crypto. They're all trying to explore it and trying to understand it and then bring it into their side of it so that they can be up to date and offer their clients or their members or users or whoever they have more advanced technology, which is great.
I think one thing that I've seen a lot, it's been a big influx in the markets and everywhere recently, it's been gaming. Is people get more free time on their hand as summer's fast approaching and already here for some people.
Right.
People are getting more into gaming, and there's been a lot of gaming developments as of recently too, and gamify and people now getting paid to play games and farming and all that fun stuff. And I think the real question that I've had a lot of people ask me is, what's the difference between starting something in Web 2 and Web 3? And that really tied into the gaming aspect that I've noticed is, do I want to start a game in Web 2? Do I want to start a game in Web 3? What market is more valuable? Where do I know to start? How do I start?
Yeah, and some of the good games are coming over now too. Before, it was just whatever they could create.
It was, how fast can I get something out to get on this trend that's fast approaching?
Right.
And now we're getting a big influx of these high quality games from these top tier development companies like Blizzard. And I honestly, I love Blizzard, but Ubisoft, Epic Games, a lot of these companies now are starting to like dip their toes in and starting to figure it out.
Yeah, because they can monetize it now. They can use tokens or NFTs or monetize it with different types of aspects of crypto.
Exactly. So
yeah, and then also the players can benefit.
Oh, like, massively, because they can sell in-game assets. They can sell their in-game tokens. They can.
Before, they were just putting out a lot of cost and accumulating a lot of things, but it was just an asset that was sitting there and had no wealth. And now it's monetized and it has wealth.
Exactly. I think the biggest one for that, and I think a lot of the younger generation is going to run into this issue, is like there's games where it's free to play and you have to buy in-game assets.
Right.
And it's a lot of Web 2 stuff, and they're just essentially paying for aesthetics where they own it and they can't do anything with it once they own it. And these assets and these accounts that own these assets, now are worth significantly more, but they can't trade them, they can't sell them, they can't do anything with them. They just have them and they're putting a hole in their pockets. And now there's ways where these companies can implement for the consumer now to go ahead and monetize and sell their assets through the blockchain.
Right. And then a lot of them don't know how to get over to Web3 or come over onto the blockchain yet either. And so they need people that are involved in Web3 and the blockchain to show them how.
Exactly. Exactly. I think, actually, are there any groups that are doing that right now? Or are we going to be the first people to touch on this?
We always come up with these ideas on the on the radio show that create new businesses for somebody if they're listening, right?
Yeah, if they're listening, right. they'd be like, oh, that's a good idea. Let's start something there. We're basically just throwing you guys a bone here and saying, oh, look, there's another way you can go and start a business. Oh, here's another way you could start a business.
Right. Well, that's the goal, right? We're doing Tech Trend Investments. We're teaching people how to invest and how to be profitable and how to start businesses and come up with ideas and step into like the future, basically. This is what we're in. We're in the future.
The future is now. Right. I think that's the saying. The future is now. You're living in the future and you have to do everything that you've wanted to do. For who knows how long, all your dreams and aspirations, they're going to come alive now. Right. There's ways to do it.
And everything starts on blockchain or Web3 or in crypto. A lot of the new technology starts over here, and then it works its way over into Web2. But things are being created because there's a sense of urgency and people want to be first to market and then bring it over. It's kind of funny, like if I'm in an Uber or just talking to somebody casually on the street about AI or about blockchain or about crypto, they think it's so far out. They think it's like 5, 10, 25 years out before we start having AI or we start having robots or that crypto is going to like become normal. And it's being put like in shopping, and it's being put in like AI is, and like I said last week, it's in WhatsApp and IG right now. And people are trying to add it into their storefronts, and they're trying like AI so that you can have an AI chatbot, or they're trying to add where you can communicate if you're writing up a letter into your emails now, or if you're trying to correspond or draft a proposal, you can use AI for that now too. So, yeah, I mean, it starts with like the very basic, you know, like kind of like PowerPoint or Excel started, but now people are utilizing AI to clean up their Word or their
Word emails. Documents. Yeah, right. Well, I think the first one that did it was what's it called? Grammarly.
Okay.
And that was just a plugin that you could use, and it was
using AI. Grammarly, and then you can search and find out if it's plagiarized or not.
Exactly. And then following Grammarly, there were a bunch of other ones just for, I think it was targeting students, because students were the people that they want to influx first into the AI market. Oh, they become curious. Now they want to build it. Now they want to learn more about it. Now these students are obviously, they're smart. They find ways to use it in the way that they're not meant to be.
Yeah, but then teachers were also doing a search to see if it was AI generated.
Exactly. So there's ways around everything. And there's, right. What's the proper terminology when you use something the way it's not implied, but then you can find, then it's adapted to. There has to be a terminology for that. I don't know. Maybe I'm just drawing a blank. But
it's been a long week already, and it's only Tuesday.
It's been a very long week already.
Very long week.
I think it's very relatable too.
Right.
Monday is always the hardest day, and then the rest of the week is like, oh.
Yeah. And it's also prime. We're coming on to prime time of the month for finance and trading too. Tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow, the end of the month. Or is tomorrow the beginning of the month? But today is the 30th. Oh my lord, it is the beginning of the month tomorrow.
It was the first.
It's been a long week.
We have peak trading starting tomorrow.
Yeah, big peak trading on the first of the month.
But it's good. I mean, the financial markets had a pullback today, which is fine. That's mm-hmm. good. That's healthy because tomorrow we should probably have a rally.
The rally is something that, well, you heard it here first. The first is always a rally. There's always a lot of movement in the market on the first.
There's a lot of volume. There's new money coming in.
Exactly.
People get paid and then they have fresh mm-hmm. money.
So if you're one of those people and you're able to put a little bit here, a little bit there, your coffee money, like we've previously discussed.
Right. Dollar cost average, DCA, yep. coffee money, $5 of Starbucks or $10 of Starbucks.
For me yesterday, $20 at Starbucks. Prices rise with inflation.
I think mine was $8.
And yes. Yeah, you put that money into anything tomorrow or tonight, and the market's going to be hot. I think all the markets are going to be hot, especially after the pullback today with the Fed projections. Right. So it's a safe bet. It's a safe bet tomorrow.
Well, I mean, the great thing too is that you can do, like, we have the trading platform, AI Signal.
Yep.
And so, like, we can use ETH or we can use Base now. We have Base. And I just posted two plays today. One hit a 50X and one hit a 300X. So you could play $20 on that and make $6,000, like, hypothetically. To do your own research, no financial advice. This is educational purposes only. But we always have to do our disclaimer. But yeah, like, people don't understand that whenever you're going into new technology and you're going into new things that are happening in the market, it's always the highest reward, highest return, because it's new. It's where they start. So you're always going to have also potential for high risk too. So that's why you learn and how to do things correctly, so that you don't throw money away, but you also can paper trade and do low plays just to try it out, coffee money to try it out and learn. But yeah, tomorrow's our high volume day. So we're going all over the place today again, aren't we?
I'd say a little bit. We're kind of staying on topic. We're getting there. We're getting there.
I mean, there's so much stuff going on in Web3 right now. Like, if you did a search, on Indeed and you did a search for crypto or AI, starting salaries are $400,000 to $500,000 minimum. Because a lot of businesses don't know how to incorporate AI or Web3 into their business. And if they do, their valuation goes up. If they have an AI and they're utilizing AI in their business model, their valuation goes up. It adds value to how much their company is worth. So you can start with, like, a small mom and pop. And if it's like an online store, or you can start with a small mom and pop that's like a brick and mortar just on a local, and it adds value to their client base. Or somebody who teaches people how to use AI or teaches people how to utilize crypto, blockchain, different types of theories. It can add value. It can add value to whatever business model you're utilizing. And if you're one of the first ones doing it, you're helping the community. You're helping the people learn. You're increasing the value of your asset, increasing the value of your business model too.
I think you're also increasing your exposure to, or your possibility of
your market share.
Yeah, your market share
is increasing, right?
Well, your market share is exponentially increasing as soon as you tap into stuff like that.
I mean, even Expedia, I think, added AI, but it's just basically a chatbot.
Did Expedia add it as well?
See, I think it was Expedia. It was one of the travel, because I was looking and doing a search. And so one of the travels had added an AI, quote unquote, but it's basically just a chatbot.
See, but even the simple things like a chatbot, they provide a significant, like it's a market boost. We'll call it a market boost for now, mm-hmm. for lack of better words. And it provides them with the ability to, like, not be around as much. So, okay, I need help with this. They're able to capitalize and get back to their target market a lot quicker,
right?
Through the AI chatbot. Now there's no delay between the consumer having questions and their answer being provided to them, and that makes for a happy consumer. If you're getting your questions answered super quick, although it may not be authentic the way most people like it, you're getting the information you need quick and efficiently, and it takes you less time to get to that final, the final, like, oh, I'm going to buy this.
And it's usually the same questions that the consumer asks over and over again anyway. So they have those answers ready for them in the chatbot that they can answer. The only thing I don't like is when the chatbot keeps taking you through a bunch of prompts. So if they have advanced AI technology like we do in our telegrams, and you ask the question, you would get the answer immediately. You wouldn't have to go through 5-10 different prompts to get your answer. You could just pose whatever question you're trying to ask, and you would get a full paragraph with detailed information based on that, plus with a personality. So
with that's the personality too.
Plus the personality of a person and voice. And it will talk to you.
Yeah, you could get voice, you could get just the text itself. There's a lot of different things. And like, you can basically mimic people's voices based on voice clips too, which is scary. It could be used for the wrong purposes, or right, it could be used to make things seem more genuine and authentic.
Right. Well, our chat bots are locked. They're only allowed to be used in our Telegram, so somebody can't take my voice and bring it out to somewhere else. So we're talking kind of secretive here, but we have, so there's AI chatbots. AI chatbots, if you go on to, so say you just go on to T-Mobile or something, and it has that little corner square that asks you a question. You can ask the chatbot basically anything. You have to go through prompts, and it'll give you 5 or 6 different prompts to click on, and then you'll ask another prompt, and you'll click on it and ask another prompt and click on it, and hopefully you get your answer. But the way that, so that's low level technology, and it's not necessarily AI, but it's a chatbot. But AI is like Google or chatbots on steroids, basically. So it gives you a lot of advance depending on what AI tech that you're utilizing in it. It'll give you, it searches everywhere, and it comes up with the most current answer in paragraph form and the most eloquent way to answer you. So our quote-unquote AI chatbots will give very detailed information and give, I guess, paragraphs. And it'll also answer you in a voice, a friendly voice.
You can choose if you want to listen to the voice or not, but it gives you the option to.
Right. So you can either get a text format, or you can get a voice format and program it the way that you want it to be. But it'll answer you in detailed information with just one question or one prompt. It also generate art for you if you want it to generate art for you. And it does that in Twitter or in Telegram or in
It can be implemented everywhere, yeah.
Right, and then it can also have a personality. So it can be sarcastic, or it can be funny, or it can have jokes, or it can have the information based on whatever prompt or personality you want. So you can have it, say you want it to be a 21-year-old female from college from Nashville who likes Elon Musk and Teslas. And so it'll answer you with that kind of spin on it, which I have a chatbot with that does that. And there's information and detailed information about crypto. Or you can have it hit, like, I don't know, like a whatever you want. So
literally anything. You can... And right. I think one of the ones that I've seen a lot of people use in the chat is, what's crypto looking like today? How's the market looking? It'll give you an analysis of any like major events that have went down.
Yeah, that's what's good too.
Basically, you can use it as your AI as your daily news source, and it'll tell you, like, summarize everything that's gone on and if it's had a positive or negative impact on the market.
Right. And then you can ask the weather. What city you want to travel to?
Oh my god, randomly generate me a city that I can travel to, and I'm looking for this, and this.
Yeah, that's true. You can ask, you can prompt it for that too, and then it'll give you a detailed description of that location that you're going to travel to and make you want to go there.
Yeah, travel is, if you couldn't tell, both of us are very fond of traveling.
Very.
And it's kind of our go-to for, I guess, exploration and meeting new people and kind of just getting out of our comfort zone. Because we're so, at this point, we're kind of comfortable with everything. And we need new experiences to like break those boundaries. because right. when you break new boundaries, you find yourself to be more productive
and step out of the box.
Exactly. Like what we're trying to get you guys to do now. And it's like, if you're really on the edge of starting a Web 2 or a Web 3 business, and I think this is the entire thing, what we're kind of getting around. If you want to go into AI, if you want to start like a real estate business, if you want to get into trading, there's more than one possibility. You can start in Web 2 and move to Web 3, or you can start in Web 3 and move to Web 2. There's benefits to both sides, different target markets you can go after to start off with, depending on what you're looking to do and what demographic you're looking for, different ages, different, if they're, you want technology savvy, I'd go Web 3. If you want more laid back, if you're starting a clothing brand, I'd most likely go Web 2. And I'd say, okay, you can start off in Web 2, but later down the line, you can go, oh, I want to digitalize sales, but I want to do it in token manner so that the consumers can earn via like a reward system. And you can tokenize that. The consumers will own like digital receipts. And they can go and one thing that I've seen more recently is these quote unquote hype like clothing and artworks and such, they're being tokenized. You buy it, you own it, and you tokenize it, and then you can sell the ownership of the token, and you also sell the ownership of the physical asset, and you can ship it alongside it.
So yeah, they were doing garden flags.
Yeah, garden trees. Yep.
At Walmart or Lowe's or something, where you would own the NFT, you would also own the garden flag if you bought the garden flag, and then it was from a major supplier.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of different ways to go about it. Whether you want to start in Web 3, move to Web 2, or you want to start in Web 2, move to Web 3, you could do either or. But it's just the ability to capitalize on all of it and being familiar with it. I think that's where everybody's kind of scared to get out of their comfort zone.
Well, the thing that people don't realize is we go through different revolutionary cycles in technology, and this is the next one. So we're coming into it where before everything was web-based, and so web-based created a slew of different businesses, a lot of different businesses just based off of web, right? And then we moved over to cell phone apps. And so if you owned a cell phone app, you could create a whole business model off of a cell phone app, where before it was web-based and then it became a cell phone app. And before that was brick and mortar, of course, right? So you had brick and mortar, then you went online to web, then you go to cell phone apps, and you could create a whole new business based off of all those other models on a cell phone app. And now we're moving into new technology, which is like AI and AI Telegram bots and AI bots and AI chat bots and AI business models, and then crypto business models with tokenized and then NFTs and virtual assets. So now we're moving into a whole new segment where it's crossing over, where you can still have any of the latter of the three, brick and mortar, web, cell phone, or AI, or it can be independent of all the other three and create a whole new business model off of just AI. And people don't understand that it's actually happening right now, and it's the next boom. This is where we're at. This is the next boom. And so we're trying to introduce people to understand and get like a little bit more information and get curious about it. Because it's exponentially, like the information is there. There's so much information, and it's nothing to be scared of. Like a lot of people think that the robots are going to take over, but it's nothing like that.
They're taking over. What are you going to do?
But if you're using it correctly, it actually can help you a lot. So, look into ChatGPT, look into Bing, look into Microsoft, look into all the other ways of getting into AI, and just do a couple curiosity prompts and get some information. Go onto YouTube, do a search, go into other aspects like Web3. But it's creating whole new business models. So where before they were doing just venture capital to raise funds, now you can do tokens to raise funds and create whole new business models off of it. And you can have utility, real world assets. You can have gaming, DeFi. Utility. I probably said that one. And a lot of different types of business models, and they can be structured and financed through tokenomics, or they can be structured and financed through NFTs and virtual assets. And then you can bring real world assets into Telegram with AI. So there's a lot of potential, a lot of opportunities. And the good thing about AI is you get things within milliseconds, where there's lag time in brick and mortar, of course, because you have to cater to them being open 9 to 5 or whatever hours they're open. And you can only access it during those times. And then web is 24/7 usually. But if you have a question, then you have to wait until you have somebody live to talk to. And then also web-based, you don't get stuff instantaneously. It doesn't update. It's whatever they input into the web. And then they have to update the web themselves. And then cell phone apps, you have to go on and do a search on your cell phone app. And then you have to be live on your cell phone app to get the information, where AI, the information comes to you and it updates within milliseconds, and you have real-time assets, real-time events posted immediately.
It's very similar. It's like it's real-time data that's provided to you instantaneously, where there's no need for human interaction. There's more time for these business owners. If you're a small business and you implement AI, saves you time, saves you cost, and provides you more opportunities to delve into these other markets to really expand and grow your business. A lot of businesses now that have franchised are starting to implement AI into their websites, into their ordering systems, so that there's less of a delay. There's also less need for work, and it's saving them cost. It's saving them time, and they're ending up with money in their pocket still, and they're profiting from it. So it's not scary. It's just figuring out the right way to utilize it to benefit you. And I think it's definitely harder to find and to justify it for some people, the use of AI technologies. But overall, the overarching theme here, especially as it's becoming more prominent in the market, is that it helps more than it hurts. And yes, it hurts some of the blue collar jobs, but most of these white collar jobs use it as an aid to their processes, because they can't justify getting rid of the people with
It's an asset. It's an asset that can help the business grow. It's not necessarily trying to replace humans. It's trying to enhance their level of knowledge,
workflow. Yeah.
So, but the thing too is, like, you can dabble in AI where you don't have to necessarily create a business off of AI, but you can just explore AI and get some information. Like, you can just
ask a question
or
ask questions,
ask a question,
chatbots,
start small,
provide recommendations based on search history, cookies or AIs, because it takes information, user-based information that's provided to the website, and it gives them a recommendation based on it, upsells. There's so many different ways to utilize it.
Right. And I've built over, I think, 55 AI bots now. I have.
Oof.
Yeah, I'm maxing out my bot father.
Your bot father.
My API tokens. I have to create more Telegram so I can create more AI bots. Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, but I have 3 travel bots now.
3
travel bots. I have to count. I have 15 ETH-based bots, trading bots, and I have 6 base trading bots and 6 SOL trading bots.
For those who don't know, ETH is Ethereum. Base is a layer 2 chain on Ethereum with lower gas fees. And Solana is another cryptocurrency that is a lot lower of price with low gas fees as well. So two different, one L2 and 2 completely main chains.
that predicts analytics on what will, we talked about this 4 or 5 different segments ago, but does predictive modeling on where to enter into a trade and how to exit out of a trade and be profitable on trading meme coins and crypto.
Exactly.
But those are just some of the bots. Some of the other ones I can't talk about yet because we haven't released them. But I also have 3, 4, 5 new technologies I've created that do not exist anywhere else with AI.
Ooh.
Yes. And those will be coming out soon too.
So AI summer is what I'm hearing. AI summer and travel summer. I think those are the two things that are going to take over this summer is AI and travel.
Yes. Well, that's also the benefit of AI, right? You can work from anywhere.
Exactly. You can work from anywhere.
The benefit of Web3, AI, crypto is you don't Wi-Fi. Have to be in one stuck place.
Wi-Fi as well. That's a big problem most people are finding now. But I think it's the Wi-Fi issue is coming to a close because a lot of these countries that are known for travel now are implementing Wi-Fi.
Well, on my flight over, to Hawaii, I had Starlink, which was Elon's internet from satellites. But on my flight back from Hawaii, I did not, which made me very sad.
Aw.
I had 5 hours without internet.
5 hours without internet is very, very hard.
Right.
Especially for people who work on the internet.
Right. Yes. And then,
I'm cutting you off on accident now, so.
It's okay.
I'm getting excited. I'm thinking summertime now.
Okay.
So one thing I've seen for this summer that a lot of people have been talking about is collectibles coming back.
Okay.
So recently there was a trading card game. It's One Piece. So it's an anime.
Okay.
And they came out with a trading card game and there's been a lot of craze going on around it with reselling it on these social media platforms like TikTok.
Okay.
And now the talk of the town is collectibles and reselling limited goods and services. That's what's coming around this summer.
So how are they doing limited goods and services?
So these companies are creating
premium VIP type of stuff?
Exactly. Where it's limited releases, like 100 to 200 releases at like set periods of time. Kind of like gated access.
Okay.
So these people are getting access to them. Either they're botting it or they're lining up for hours in front of stores to get collectibles and they're reselling them.
Right.
And that's becoming the hustle of the summer.
Well, it's like nostalgia. People tend to go towards collectibles for nostalgia.
Exactly. So I'm thinking this summer is going to be very, very nostalgic. So we're going to see a lot of things come back that were once here. So collectibles coming back. There's going to be like different trends that come back.
What's more of a tangible asset versus a virtual asset then?
I think so.
So people want to actually touch and feel and see their asset versus just look at it.
I think that's what I'm getting at.
I mean, you could have the virtual attached to, like you were speaking before, the physical asset. And then they're able to split it off where they're able to sell off the virtual and sell off the tangible as two separate or as one.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly.
That would be cool if the gaming assets had the virtual asset and then it had a physical asset.
How would that work?
Because you could ship and send the physical asset and then have the virtual asset in the game.
So this is why you're the developer and I'm not.
So I create a whole bunch of stuff. Yeah, but that would be so cool because, you know, like Comic-Con and all those other things, people are wearing, they're dressing up. So they could actually have the physical asset from the game that's sent from the game and the virtual asset in the game.
that's probably going to end up happening this summer.
Because think of it this way. Think of all the games up to this point that would sell assets in the game, but you couldn't resell it at all. Like, you would just accumulate, spend a lot of money, have a lot of assets in the game, but you just spent a lot of money and now you couldn't resell it. So it had no value except for in the game, right? But it had no monetary value at all.
Oh, it's hundreds of those.
Right. So now how are they going to go from that step where all these people have accumulated all these assets? They're going to have people leaving their games to go to monetary asset games instead, because they're going to be able to monetize it, right? So what about all these games that already exist? They're going to lose their customer base. They're going to lose their gamers. They're going to move on to something else. So they're going to have to create a new solution for that. And so they could create a new solution by coming up with physical assets and then be able to monetize that and then find a way to monetize the assets that are already existing in the game.
That was a mouthful. So,
but think of it. Think of the games that already exist that you can't monetize, right? And now...
The one that I know that's already done it is CSGO. CSGO was the first kind of game to implement a marketplace where you could sell stuff to convert. Then now, more recently, Rainbow Six Siege and Ubisoft have implemented a marketplace.
But then they also have to do a 1099 if somebody makes more than $600. And so that's probably the issue that they had to come up with. Because if
they didn't do it for physical money, they didn't do it for like cash. They're doing it for in-game credits.
Okay.
So that's how they're getting around it. That's when they solve it. Exactly.
But there's a lot of games that are monetizing where it's cash. So they're doing it with crypto.
Yeah, exactly. So
how are they going to compete with somebody making money off of a game with crypto versus just getting points in a game?
They can't compete. So they need to adjust and they need to adapt to the new market.
Right.
Oh, this has got me thinking. And I've been in this market.
Right.
So even these talks provide new perspectives for us, not just you guys, but for us as well. Hearing and sharing these ideas and we brainstorm at the same time different things that can happen, things like people can do. And now it's like,
But it's also predictive of what's going to happen in the future, because you have to solve a problem and come up with a solution. And that's usually what ends up happening in new technology. That's how new technology is created.
It is how new technology is created. It all starts with an idea to solve a problem.
Right.
And from there, anything is possible. All it needs is somebody to take the initiative to go and do it, or to take advantage of the gap in the market.
Right.
And
that's what one of the games that I created did.
Oh. Now.
But we're in California, so we can't talk about it as much.
Exactly. I was going to say, I don't know if we can talk about that one yet.
I'm in California, at least.
You're in California. I'm not in California.
Right. You still can't talk about it either.
Can't talk about it either, though. A little bit of restrictions around some things we can and can't talk about within the crypto.
More space. AI, more Web3, more new technology.
Exactly. But it's all apparent now. And if you were to dive into Web3, you'd see it firsthand. And it's something that we can't really explain, but you can definitely experience it if you do want to jump in and pay attention and learn more about it, because there's a lot of aspects. And even prior to this episode, some of the lingo that we're using, even while we're trying to explain it, is still very foreign and hard to understand.
Right.
So,
yeah. We use AI, 3D, Easter eggs in gaming. And some other things.
I think maybe we could touch on a few of the lingo terms that we use in Web3 today, and then go over a bunch of them again next week, because that's something that I know people would love to understand. So we can start off with like ones that we've already touched on. So the first ones you're probably going to hear is FOMO, which is the fear of missing out.
Right.
Meaning you don't want to miss out on a potential play. You don't want to miss out on a potential quote unquote mint, which is the next one. Mint is when you buy an asset from a company who's selling it. It's like you're buying clothes. Let's just say it's a digital asset. You have to purchase it from the company that's selling it, and it's not already on the blockchain. By going through that minting process, you're embedding it onto the blockchain. Now it's in your wallet and you own it. You've minted it. You've purchased it.
And we explained what a wallet was 3 or 4 talks ago.
Yeah, 3 or 4 talks ago. I love how we're calling them as talks now. Another one we can do is P&L. I know a lot of people know what that is, but that's profit and loss. And that ties in a lot with trading.
And then ROI, return on investment.
Return on investment. Another term, faded. That's when you missed out on something that you knew was coming and you missed out on it on purpose. I didn't like that one. I faded that.
DCA.
DCA, dollar cost average.
Yes, DCA is also in financial terms too. Carried over.
That one's everywhere.
But I see a lot of people in Web3 use it wrong.
A lot of people in Web3 do use it wrong.
They'll buy at the top, and then they'll buy as the chart's going down red, and then they're saying that they're DCAing. Like, you don't dollar cost average when you're buying as the chart's going down. You're buying in loss.
You're buying
dollar
in
cost
loss.
Average is supposed to be like if a stock or bond is selling for $100 this week, and the next week it's $120, and then the following week it's $110. You're buying different increments of it. Where I see people on Web3 say they're DCAing, where they're buying a red chart. But it's okay.
They didn't go into the like the NASDAQ to trade first. Right. They just went straight into Web3.
Right.
Another one that's primarily used in trading that we can talk about is CA, contract address, which is where the token or the NFTs are minted from, the owner, the contract. The contract being where all the information is plugged in, all the information
on the
is
smart
plugged
contract,
in.
Right?
Yeah, the smart contract.
But you can get all of your analytics if you have the contract address. So you can take the contract address and then put it into one of the analytics tools like TTF and then get updated information. If it's a token, if it's a NFT, you have to do your own research basically and find out and learn how to read a smart contract to get that information. I don't think there's any analytics on a smart contract for NFTs.
There's no analytics for NFTs.
No, we just created a new business model there. There's another one.
Oh, God.
Because NFTs are coming back. NFTs kind of had a lull for a while there, like from last May when meme coins had a big run, and then just recently NFTs started coming back strong again. Well, semi-strong.
Semi-strong. And NFT is a non-fungible token.
Yes. All this lingo.
All this lingo.
We just assume everybody knows what we're talking about, but...
Another one is TG. I think we've said that a few times, which is Telegram.
Telegram. And then Telegram. IG, Instagram,
yeah. Snapchat. We can go on forever with those
social
ones.
Medias, right? And then I can't think of the lingo when you're not speaking, but when you just normally talk.
I know. We can go pump and dump. Pump is when the chart's going green. Dump is when the chart's going red.
But pump and dump is somebody who will go in and run the chart up and then exit out and sell off their position really fast.
Yep. And then there's I can think of so many at the top of my head when I'm not thinking about it.
Right.
And UI UX. Oh, that's another one.
NGMI. Wait, what did you say? I didn't catch yours.
UI UX.
Okay, like user interface.
User interface. Yeah. That's
it's also a dev term though too.
It is a dev term. But there's a lot of devs.
Dev is developer. So there's a couple of, actually in Web3, they call devs like a founder of a project who's the front for the project and who talks about a project. But a dev is also a developer, somebody who's the technology person. and there's multiple devs. There's front-end devs and back-end devs and full-stack devs, and there's all kinds of devs. So there's AI devs and Python and different types of code and UI devs. So there's a lot of different types of devs, which people don't understand. Like, they think technology is just one blanket, but there's a lot of different pieces and moving parts to technology. And then what else devs?
We got CT.
NGMI, not going to make it.
Not going to make it. CT.
CMI, going to make it.
CT, crypto, Twitter.
And
God.
Elon. Elon's a famous one. Elon Musk.
I don't think anybody knows who Elon is. That's a hard one to explain.
Yeah, we just call him Elon. BFF, he's our BFF.
He's our BFF. And then we have like whitelist.
Oh yeah, whitelist. So WL, blacklist, BL.
Yep.
Whitelist public is sale. Whitelist sale. Is only certain wallets get to be put on to buy or sell a certain token or NFT. You have to be on a whitelist. And if you're on a blacklist, means you're banned, that you're not allowed to sell or buy from that token or NFT.
And then you have public sale, which is like everybody can buy.
Everybody can get in. It's open to everybody. It's not
private. And yeah, it's open. It's open sale. It's like every, something gets listed on the market. Anyone can go and buy it.
Right. And then private sale, yeah, where only a certain invite.
Only certain invited people can get in there and buy and put their money up, put their money where their mouth is.
Which we have a few of those going on right now in private sales.
Yep. And then we have gas fees.
And gas has been low. Gas was like 100 this morning, I think, though, but it's been like 7, where it's been up to 400 lately. And then just this last week, it's been down. It's been like 7 to 12 in the last 3 or 4 days. But this morning was like 105. I think it's because ETH was having, and BTC was being affected by the financial market. So people were selling.
Oh, yep. Yep. You were telling me this morning it was up. I didn't even look this morning, and you're like, yep, gas is up. Oh,
yeah, it was at like 105 at like 5 a.m. or 6 a.m. I can't remember which time it was.
That's true.
That's too early for gas to be that high. We only have a couple more minutes, too.
We do only have a couple minutes. I didn't even realize. Okay, so next week we'll make a list of terms for everybody, and we'll go over them briefly.
And then talk about travel.
And then we'll talk about travel at the end, so everybody can feel refreshed.
Or in the beginning. I think we're talking about travel next week.
Ooh, travel! We could always talk about travel. That's the thing. I think everybody loves travel. And they always love hearing about these destinations.
Well, we have some opportunities next week with crypto and travel and bots and AI too.
Oh, that's next week. Oh, there's definitely going to be something coming for all you listening and that want to tune in and that do tune in next week. I can't speak right now. I'm so excited. There's going to be a big opportunity for you guys to capitalize on some of these tips and tricks, but through crypto. And honestly, I can't wait. It's going to be such a fun thing. And if you're looking to get into travel, and this is going to be a big travel summer.
Well, it's a peak time right now. It's May. We're in May already. So people are going to start booking their travel for summer. And it's going to be a big summer, right? That's what you said in the beginning. It's going to be a big summer.
It's going to be a big travel summer. So everybody, get ready for next week. Get the notifications on. Get ready to tune in at 6 p.m. PST next week, Tuesday.
Right, on Tech Trend Investments.
On Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa. I think on that note, we'll sign out. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in this week. And we'll catch you next week.
WGMI, we're all going to make it.
WGMI. LFG, LFG.
LFG, oh yeah. I can't say that one on.
Nope.
LFG, it's Let's F. Go.
Let's freaking go.
Bye, everyone. Thank you.
Bye, everybody. Thank you so much.
You're listening to Tech Trend Investments with Elizabeth Powell and Joseph Grassa, only on LA Talk Radio.